Shalom, friends. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. Today, we're digging deep into Hebrews 8 and 10 and looking through the lens of a messianic oneness perspective while using the Tree of Life version to keep our eyes fixed on the Jewish roots and the fullness of who Messiah Yeshua is. It's September 21st, 2025. And whether you're just checking out our faith or you're walking with Yeshua and you've been for years, this message is for you. I pray you'll see the beauty of what the Torah promised and how Yeshua fulfills it in a way that changes everything. Since this Tuesday is Rosh Hashanah, we'll also talk a little bit about that feast of the Lord and what we can glean from it about the new covenant in Yeshua. But first, let's open in prayer. Abba, Father, we come before you today in awe of your mercy and your truth. Thank you for gathering us together to hear your word and for the gift of your presence among us. We ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive what you are saying. Let your Ruach HaKodesh move freely in this place. Write your Torah on our hearts. Draw near to each person here listening to this message. Those who know you and those who are searching, you know whether they know you, whether they belong to you, or whether they're just searching for answers. Either way, you want to speak to them today. Let Yeshua be lifted up as our Messiah, our high priest, our once for all sacrifice, hallelujah, and our hope for new life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We surrender this time for you. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Speak through me today in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Well, let's start with Hebrews 8. The author is writing to Jewish believers who are tempted to look back to the old system, the priests, the sacrifices, the temple. He explains that all these things were just a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. That's Hebrews 8:5. The real substance, the true reality, is found in Yeshua. Let's read Hebrews 8, 1 through 2. Now, here is the main point being said. We do have such a Kohen Gadol who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He is a priestly attendant of the holies and the true tent, which Adonai set up, not by man. Yeshua isn't just another priest. He is the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, who ministers in the actual heavenly realm, not an earthly copy. Did you know that the temple on earth was built in the same way to represent the one in heaven? Yes, there's a real temple in heaven. And the one we see here is a shadow and a type of it. It was told by Yahweh to Moses to build it in such a way, do this and this and this. And he had detailed instructions. And he was commanded to follow the instructions exactly. Why? Because he was making a copy of another one, one that was in heaven. That's really important to know and interesting as well. But the writer doesn't stop there. He says the old covenant, the one given at Sinai, had a purpose, but it couldn't change the heart. So Yahweh promises something better. As we continue reading in Hebrews 8:8-12, it's quoting Jeremiah 31. Behold, days are coming, says Adonai, when I will inaugurate a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not remain in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says Adonai. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah into their mind, and upon their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no more will they teach each one his fellow citizen and each one his brother, saying, Know Adonai, because all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and their sins I will remember no more. Wow. Wow. That's just, wow. I don't know about you, but knowing that he's going to write his Torah on my mind and up on my heart, that's a powerful message right there. So let's pause for a moment and get clear on what the old covenant actually was and why the new covenant is so much better. The old covenant made at Sinai was good and holy. Yahweh gave Israel the Torah, the priesthood, the sacrifices, and the tabernacle. He said, if you obey my commands, you'll be my treasured people. But the problem wasn't with God's Torah or his promises. The problem was with us. Our hearts were stubborn, our nature broken. The law could reveal sin, but it couldn't heal it. Hebrews 8:7 said, for if that first covenant had been faultless, there would not have been discourse seeking a second. Over and over, Israel failed. They brought sacrifices, but their hearts wandered. They heard the commandments. They couldn't keep them. The sacrifices had to be repeated year after year just to cover sins temporarily. But Yahweh in his mercy promised something better. He would make a new covenant, not just a renewal, but something radically different. In the new covenant, the Torah would move from stone tablets to living hearts. Forgiveness would be complete. Relationship with God would become direct and personal, not mediated only by priests. Everyone, from the least to the greatest, could know him. Hallelujah. That's awesome. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, God also made us competent as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Ruach. For letter kills, but Ruach gives life. The Ruach is the Holy Spirit. This is what the prophets longed for. This is what Yeshua came to establish. By his blood, by his spirit, by writing the Torah on our hearts. Not abolishing the law, but fulfilling its deepest intent. People truly set apart, living with God's life inside them. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. To really grasp the new covenant, picture a marriage, not a cold contract, but a living, breathing relationship. Scripture often describes Yahweh as the husband and his people as his bride. The old covenant was like a marriage where one spouse keeps breaking the vows. Israel kept wandering, breaking trust, and chasing other loves. The prophets, like Hosea, paint this picture in heartbreaking detail. But Yahweh didn't give up. No. Instead, he promised a new covenant, a fresh start, where the relationship is restored on a new foundation. Think about what happens in a good marriage. It's not just about following rules or checking boxes. It's about love and trust and a shared life. The heart of one is knit to the heart of the other. When you love your spouse, you don't need a rule book to tell you how to care for them. Your desire is to please them, to know them, to walk together. This is what Yeshua, the bridegroom, offers to us, his bride. He didn't just come to forgive our past failures. He came to draw us close, to share his heart, to make us new from the inside out. Ephesians 5:25-28, and I'm going to read this in the Message version because I like the way it says it in that version. Husbands, go all out in love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. Did you get that? Husbands, you're to love your wives the same way Yeshua loves his bride, the church. We read everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. Husbands, are you doing what brings the best out of your wife? Think about it. The new covenant is about more than forgiveness. It's about becoming one with Messiah, sharing his spirit, living out his love in the world. Just as a faithful husband loves, protects, and transforms his bride, so Yeshua loves, sanctifies, and empowers us, his people. Husbands, are you transforming your wives, making her more beautiful, enabling her to be all that God created her to be? That's what Yeshua does for us, and that's what you should be doing for her. He's not there to be your slave. You got that? You may be the head of the house, but you're not there to tell her what to do. Yeshua doesn't tell us what to do necessarily. I mean, he has commandments, but when they're written on our hearts, when we're walking in a relationship of love, we don't really even need those laws. We automatically want to do what is right. And husbands, if you are loving your wives as Christ loves the church, she'll want to do anything and everything in her power to make you happy, to please you, to bless you. So really, you're helping yourself. You're doing yourself a favor. That's what the word says. Because you're one in marriage. So whatever you do unto her, you do to yourself. Oh, think about that. This is the heart of the gospel. Yeshua is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Torah could command, but it couldn't transform. Animal sacrifices could cover sins, but not take them away. But Yeshua, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, according to Revelation 13:8, does what no priest, no sacrifice, no earthly system can ever do. Hebrews 10:10-14. Let's move into chapter 10 now. And let's read what it says there. It says, by his will, we have been made holy through the offering of the body of Messiah Yeshua once for all. Indeed, every Kohen stands every day serving and offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But on the other hand, when this one offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from then on until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those being made holy. And remember, Kohen means priest. So Yeshua's sacrifice is enough. There's no more striving, no more guilt offerings, no more wondering if you're good enough. By his blood, your sins, past, present, and future, are washed away if you trust in him. So why does it matter that Yeshua is the once-for-all sacrifice? Because the new covenant doesn't just change your legal standing, it changes your heart. Hebrews 10:16 says, this is the covenant that I will cut with them. After those days, says Adonai, I will put my Torah upon their hearts, and upon their minds I will write it. This is everything. Torah, God's instruction, his wisdom, his ways, is no longer just an external list of rules. It becomes internal, written on your heart. When you put your trust in Yeshua, the Spirit of Yahweh comes to live in you. You actually want to do what's right. Your desires start to change. You love what God loves. You hate what God hates. You long for his kingdom, not just in your own life, but in your home, your city, your nation. Not about trying harder. It's about being born again. A new heart, a new spirit, a new royalty. It's not about trying harder. It's about being born again. A new heart, a new spirit, a new loyalty. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says, moreover, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the stony heart from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my ruach within you. Then I will cause you to walk in my laws, so you will keep my rulings and do them. Wow. So because we have access to Yahweh, we can be bold and courageous. Because of this new heart, this new covenant, you have access, real, direct access to Yahweh himself, not just the priests, and not just once a year. Hebrews 10, 19 through 23 tells us, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Yeshua. He inaugurated a new and living way for us through the curtain, that is his flesh. We also have a Kohen Gadol over God's household. So let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the unwavering confession of hope, for he who has promised is faithful. This is not theory. This is reality. You, right now, can come boldly to the throne of grace. You can talk to Yahweh, and he hears you. You don't need a mediator. Yeshua is your mediator, and he lives forever. So if you think you have to go to a priest or a pastor and talk to God for you, read the Bible. You have been set free. You can come boldly to his throne. He ripped the veil. He tore it. And now you can enter the Holy of Holies. You can enter the presence of God. You can have a personal relationship with the Lord. You can talk to him yourself. You don't need a man to do it for you. Because Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us draw near to the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in time of need. It's talking to you. It's talking to me. It's not just talking to priests and pastors, bishops and cardinals and whatever title person wants to have for their position in a church. Not just for church leaders. This is for you and me too. Everybody. But there's a cost. The world is not always going to celebrate your new heart or your faith in Yeshua. Some of you know what it is like to be rejected, mocked, or worse. Recently, a bold young man speaking truth was assassinated, martyred for his beliefs. Well, there is a cost. Hebrews 10:32-36 says, but remember the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Maybe you haven't exactly suffered for your faith yet. But many have, and they understand what it's like to be a martyr. The apostles were martyrs. They definitely suffered. But it continues on in this section. For you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted the confiscation of your possessions with joy, knowing that you have for yourselves a better and lasting possession. Therefore, do not lose your boldness, which has great reward. For you need perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So for those of you who hear this message on the replay that are in countries that you're getting persecuted for your faith, do it with joy. Do it with joy. The apostles, they also were persecuted, beaten and thrown in prison and hung and crucified upside down. Wow. And Stephen, the first martyr, really, he was just sharing his faith, sharing the truth, and they stoned him to death. And down through the centuries, many have given their life as martyrs for the cause of Christ. And maybe you're in a country where it's okay to be a Christian and you're not suffering that much. But now it's getting kind of weird, really. You know, when someone assassinates someone speaking the truth about Christ and saying things that they don't like, and then all through social media we have this cancel culture where the people are going to unfriend you because you're saying something they don't like, and so some of us have experienced some of that, and especially during the pandemic when people were being bold to speak against the vaccines and stuff like that. They were being canceled. So we've experienced a little bit of suffering, but the Bible talks about a time is coming when the Antichrist will be coming to power, and he will be able to persecute saints and cause everyone to receive a mark. And if you don't take the mark, you will definitely be martyred. Yeah. So it's going to be difficult, but we must be willing to suffer. Friends, don't shrink back. Be bold. Be willing to stand, to suffer, to endure. The same Spirit that raised Yeshua from the dead lives in you, and he'll give you all you need. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Amen. As we talk about new hearts and a new covenant, it's impossible not to think about Rosh Hashanah coming up this week. Rosh Hashanah marks the start of a new year for Jewish people. It's a day filled with both celebration and self-examination. The shofar sounds, calling everyone to wake up, to turn back to God, and to seek His mercy for a fresh beginning. On Rosh Hashanah, tradition teaches us to consider our lives, to repent for the past, and set our eyes on what God wants to do in the year ahead. It's a moment of hope, not just for another cycle around the sun, but for true change, a new season, a new heart, a new story. The new covenant takes us even deeper. Yeshua offers more than a reset for the year. He offers a brand new life. The shofar's call isn't just a wake up for a season, but a call to enter God's kingdom, to be made new from the inside out. And many of us who follow the Gregorian calendar will do this in January. January 1st is our new year. And we'll talk about our New Year's resolutions and what we plan to change and how we plan to grow in the coming year. But we can't do it without His laws written on our hearts, without new birth. We can't do it without being born again. We need the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, living in us, helping us. But we're reminded that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, we must be born again. And we must stand on that covenant. Every year, we remind ourselves, we're in a blood covenant with Yeshua. We're born again. We ask the Lord, make all things new again for this coming year. Everything that's not of you, we just leave it in the past. All the false belief systems about ourselves or anything else, we repent of believing the lies of the enemy, and we just choose to leave that behind and walk into the reality and truth that's in Yeshua. Rosh Hashanah reminds us that God is always inviting us to return to Him. But in Messiah, we don't just return. We get a new heart, a new spirit, a new beginning that never ends. The slate is wiped clean, and the Torah is written on our hearts. The hope and promise of Rosh Hashanah are fulfilled, not just in a new year, but in a new covenant. And doesn't the Bible say His mercies are new every morning? But why not every year? So as we reflect on Rosh Hashanah, ask yourself, do I want a new beginning? Am I ready for God to write His Torah on my heart, to fill me with His Spirit, to make me truly new? The door is open. The shofar is sounding. And the invitation is for you right now. So where do you stand? Maybe you've never trusted in Yeshua. Maybe you've tried religion, tried to keep the rules, tried to be good enough. But you know your heart is still far away, still hard, still searching. Good news is that you don't have to fix yourself. You just have to surrender. Call out to Yeshua. Trust that His sacrifice is enough. Ask Him to give you a new heart, to write His Torah on your mind and spirit. He will do it. And if you already belong to Him, don't settle for a small vision. Pray for His kingdom to come in your life, in your family, in your church, in your city, in your nation. Be bold. Don't be afraid to suffer. The world is desperate to see people who have truly been changed, who live with courage, compassion, and conviction. Let's close with this promise, found in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the unwavering confession of hope, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. And do not neglect our own meetings, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Yeshua, thank you for your word, for the new covenant, and for the hope we have in you. Thank you for the promise you give us, new hearts and new desires. Write your ways within us to make us your people. Strengthen us to walk in boldness and courage, to stand for your kingdom with love and truth. For those who are seeking, reveal yourself as the loving Father, the faithful bridegroom, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Help us to leave this place changed, filled with your Spirit, and hungry to see your will done in our lives, our families, our cities, and our nations. May your shalom guard our hearts, and may we walk each day in the fullness of your grace. In your precious name, Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. May his kingdom come in you and through you, until every nation, tribe, and tongue knows that Yeshua is Lord. This week, may Yahweh write his Torah on your heart. May you walk in the fullness of Messiah's sacrifice. And may there be shalom in your home.